You may think dementia only happens to people over 60, but a rare condition that is known as FTD strikes people in their 40s and 50s. FTD, or frontotemporal dementia, is a rare neurodegenerative disease that is the most common form of dementia among people under 60. Because people with this disease may act out of character or display indifference, FTD is commonly misdiagnosed as mental illness. Joining us now to discuss FTD and Awareness Week and talking about symptoms, diagnosis, and testing is cognitive neurologist Dr. Andrea Bauzalki and division chief and professor of memory and cognitive disorders at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Susan Dickinson, CEO of the Association for Frontotemporal Degeneration, AFTD. Thank you both for joining us. So FTD is something that is new to me. I've never really heard it before. What exactly is it, and how prevalent is the disease?
Sure. Well, don't feel bad. Even many physicians haven't heard of this. It is quite rare. The prevalence is 3 to 4 per 100,000, but overall in the U.S., we think somewhere between 50 and 60,000 people have this rather rare form of dementia. Frontotemporal dementia means that you have a loss, a progressive loss of brain cells in the front part of the brain over time. It can affect people in their mid-40s, though most of the time we see it in people's 50s and 60s. And I just want to, you know, to clarify terminology, the dementia part is that word is an umbrella term for a set of symptoms that can be caused by many different diseases and can look different in each of them. So, you know, we usually think of Alzheimer's as the most, and it is the most common form of dementia. The first symptoms there are usually memory loss, whereas in FTD, the earliest changes are typically to a person's behavior and personality. So a little later, it can affect their judgment and reasoning, their planning and organization skills. It can also affect speech or language, and sometimes even their movements or strength.
Because FTD might have been classified as something else in previous years, how prevalent is FTD today? Has the prevalence, has it increased at all to factors, or do we think it's been relatively stable for the last 50 or so years?
We see absolutely no reason to think that the disease itself is increasing. I think what has been changing is our ability in the field of medicine to recognize what is the cause of these confusing changes in cognition, in behavior. And with the advent of, you know, with the advance of science, as Dr. Bauzalki will tell you, we can image the brain with much more accuracy than we could in the past. We can see, in this case, an MRI can show us if structurally the front or temporal part of the brains might be shrinking. And there's also a diagnostic test called a PET scan that can actually measure function of those areas of the brain and show if there's less activity in those areas. So I think what's really changed is our ability to detect, to see inside the brain, to understand the causes of the changes that we're seeing.
So, Susan, continuing on that, you mentioned the PET scan and that it is easier now to identify it in different scans, but are there any physical symptoms of FTD that maybe stand out?
Sure. Somebody who is having what we call difficulty with executive functioning at their job, they might start missing deadlines or making mistakes that they never would have in the past. At home, somebody who's been a very affectionate parent or spouse might start showing lack of interest in family activities or just having trouble getting motivated, getting out of bed in the morning or getting off the couch. Somebody whose first symptoms are in the language area may start having trouble putting words together into meaningful sentences, or other people may actually lose the meaning of common words like car or table. So as you can hear, these are very kind of confusing, disorienting symptoms, both for the person experiencing them as well as the people around them and the family or close friends. When you compare those symptoms along with the fact that it is fairly rare, most doctors have not heard of FTD, much less are they, you know, experienced at diagnosing it. On average, we know it takes people about 3.5 years to get an accurate diagnosis.
3.5 years to get a diagnosis. Are there any effective treatment options for FTD? Are there some that work right before the diagnosis? It just seems like 3.5 years is an awful long time that could be used to treat this.
So you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, that isn't, of course, always the case. Sometimes the disease is recognized, you know, much quicker than that. But treatment that we have available today is primarily symptomatic. So I have the ability to prescribe medicines that can help with some of the cognitive decline and some of the behavioral symptoms. I also have non-medication treatments that I prescribe, various kinds of therapies that can kind of help people to compensate for their deficits, and also that allows family members to know what to do to be more helpful. But those disease-slowing medicines are not yet available for me to prescribe. They are on the horizon, though. And I want to emphasize that, you know, my lab and others are starting to really look into therapeutics, including doing clinical trials that can help move this field forward much more quickly.
So it seems like there's a lot of research that still has to be gone through by the FDA and still qualified before it can be prescribed. Where can people go for more information to see the updates on some of these treatments and where they might be along in that process?
So a website, learnftd.com, has been put together recently, and it is appropriate for both people pre-diagnosis, if you're just suspecting that something may be amiss, and also people who are wanting to know more about these treatment trials. And a really important element here of genetic testing. So, and I'm going to, if it's okay, have Susan say a comment about genetic testing.
Sure. So whereas we know the majority of people with FTD, we don't know what causes it. But as Dr. Bozocchi is referring to, in about 20 to 30% of people with this diagnosis, we know they have a genetic cause. So this is an inherited disease, being, you know, going from grandparent to parent to child. And in these families, we do recommend that people go for genetic counseling, consider getting genetic testing, because it can be important not only in helping you understand the risk to other family members, but we are seeing this emergence of clinical trials of the first potentially disease-modifying treatments that can stop, slow, or potentially even prevent the disease itself if we can find a drug that's effective and get it to people in time. And most of these clinical trials are enrolling people who have a genetic variant. So today, knowing your genetic status can be much more empowering than in the past, and it can really help you develop these first therapies that are going to help the generations to come.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us. We had Dr. Andrea Bozocchi and Susan Dickinson. One more time, that website where people can go for more information.
Sure. It's learnftd.com.
And thank you so much for joining us and telling us a little bit about FTD. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Take care.